court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Well, little buddy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I mean, it's not there yet, but it's the week leading up to it.
It is. And you know what more importantly it is than a Happy New Year?
What?
It's my birthday.
That's right. You're a Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's almost time for my birthday.
Yeah. Another year older.
Yeah.
Deeper in debt.
Deeper in debt.
And then that goes.
Something about working for the company or.
That's right.
I don't know.
Owe my soul to the company store.
There we go. That's two episodes in a week. We talked about company stores.
Well, that's true.
We talked about the elf company store that Santa makes the elf shop at. To get their provisions.
That's right. Bend over. I know we can fit more in.
Had nightmares about that joke. So this episode is going to be a little bit different. You want to tell everybody about it, Tommy?
Well, you know, we want to, you know, keep up with all the hot, you know, people on TV and the news and stuff like that. And, you know, they like to do their end of the year reviews. So we thought we would do our end-of-the-year review. This is a court-appointed end-of-the-year review.
2016 end-of-year review.
That's right. We're going to hit the highlights on what we covered. Events that have happened since we covered a topic, any news that has come up. We'll break down some demographics and interesting news stories and see where we're at and where we're going.
Where we're going.
We started July 25th was our first release. And so here we are. This is our 23rd episode. We got 22 out there, and this will be our 23rd. We got to learn from this. And we've got to study this and see where we're going with this and what works and what doesn't. Because obviously some shows were much more popular than others. So we thought it might be interesting to you to hear our five top shows as per downloads. Our five top states that were downloaded in, and maybe even outside the United States, the five top countries that were downloaded in.
I think it sounds fascinating. I love me some demographics.
And then we'll try to see where that leads us from here, because, I mean, after all, we do this for you, the listener.
Yep.
You're the most important people that we know, and we're trying to do this for you, and we want to bring you quality stuff, so we just got to figure out what that is.
Yeah, what is quality? How can we get more out there? There's some movie, I can't remember, TV show, they ask the guys, like, he goes, I don't have a lot of money. I like money. I hope to make more money. Right now I have some. It's on a jar over top of my fridge. I forget what movie that's from.
Your money's in a jar. You don't have much money.
Yeah. That's like our show. It's like, I like our show. We think we do a good job sometimes. We want to make a better show sometimes and do more good shows sometimes.
Otherwise, we'll just struggle along in mediocrity.
There's something said for that, too. Fat, drunk, and stupid's no way to go through life, son.
Well, I have to go on a diet.
You know what that's from, don't you?
Animal House.
Yeah, okay. You didn't pick up on that right away.
I knew I'd heard it. I just was trying to think of where that was, the Dean Wormer, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you want to start on the demographics? We want to talk about some updates on stories?
No, let's go with the updates. Let's save the demographics for last. I think we need to understand where we've been before we see what we've done.
Man, I've seen some things.
I've seen some things, man. I am proud to report that after our episode, IP versus Freely.
Yeah.
IPV Freely.
Intellectual property.
That Zuckerberg has finally called his minions off. I'm not receiving any more cease and desist letters. But as you may also have noticed, I no longer tried to rap anymore after that.
Yeah. Nobody's contacted you about a lucrative rap contract?
No, they didn't call me. I don't know what happened. I thought sure that there would be some rappers knocking on my door wanting me to join them with my fresh tunes, my fresh jams and licks, or whatever you call them.
Jams and licks?
Yeah. I don't know. They're top-notch rhymes. I'm busting a rhyme. Busta Rhymes.
Tracks? Different tracks?
Busting a track.
There you go.
Popping a move.
Popping and locking.
My age, I'll just pop a hip.
I think you should rap more. I really enjoyed that rap. It was good.
Well, you know, that was all brought about when we were discussing Kanye and his request to Zuckerberg for the, what was it, $120 million? Is that what he was looking for? Something like that?
Some paltry amount.
Yeah, and it was all brought about by that. And I noticed here recently that we had a little meeting there between Trump and Kanye. So my feeling, my take from that is, they said a newly blonde Kanye West visited Donald Trump on Tuesday. This was a couple weeks ago. And said later they talked about life. Well, what I'm wondering is, did he go to Trump looking for that $120 million since Zuckerberg never came through with it? As far as I know, Zuckerberg never gave that money to anybody, did he? Anybody win that contest?
I don't think so. What contest?
Well, one where Kanye started that $120 million giveaway that Zuckerberg was going to give it to somebody. That's why I did the rap. I thought maybe if he heard my rap that he'd give me the money.
I don't think it was necessarily a contest. I think you kind of invented that. I think Kanye just went and asked for $120 million, and you just thought that he would give it to whoever rapped. I'm thoroughly confused. I don't think there was a contest.
You don't think there was a contest?
No contest.
Well, the one thing that he did accomplish, apparently, though, is, you know, he changed his tune. He did have out there Kanye in 2020. Mm-hmm. He planned on running for president in 2020. Well, after his meeting with Trump, he changed it to Kanye in 2024.
Oh,
I think he decided he doesn't want to challenge Trump. Oh. So Trump was evidently fairly persuasive. So that tells me that $120 million, maybe that's what came through there. I don't know. But Kanye's been having his problems. He had some kind of breakdown, canceled his tour,
yeah,
and everything else. Yeezy hadn't been getting it too easy.
He's a strange bird. I don't know what his deal is.
Strange bird is putting it mildly.
Yeah, I do like his music, but
I don't.
Really?
I'm just putting it out there. I don't like it. All you haters, you can hate me. I'd listen to Taylor Swift before I'd listen to Kanye.
Yeah, I listen to them both. Probably, I'd listen to Kanye before Taylor Swift, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. I'd listen to Taylor Swift before I'd listen to Kanye. I hate to admit even that, but I would.
Well, that segues nicely into our... one of our other episodes was on the Electoral College.
Electoral College. You know, when we did that, that was a real eye-opener for me. I mean, I knew of the Electoral College, and I knew basically how it worked, but not really how it originated, and really that you have actual electors, the real principle behind it when it started. So it was really neat to me that we did this educational thing with it, broke down how it works for all our listeners, and then it became such a major thing. I don't remember any election in my lifetime that the Electoral College became such a hot topic. Even in the Gore Bush, Gore won the popular vote in that, but I don't remember the Electoral College being brought out to the point that it was in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back then it became a bit of an issue because they're like, well, we don't know who the president is yet, but I think there wasn't the amount of just crazy dissent and how the country was so basically torn apart after this election that many people thought many electors would kind of defect. But actually, that's what took place this year, which is kind of crazy. And also,
you never hear about that. Nobody ever talked about electors defecting. Nobody. I don't even think people realized that there were actual people that were electors.
Yeah, or that they could change their mind. They thought that, you know, once they voted, that they had to do that.
Right. It was just a ceremonial type thing. It wasn't really casting a vote.
Yeah. Well, this year at the Electoral College on Monday, which would have been the 19th, there were 7 electors, which was the most ever, that voted for somebody other than their party's nominee. So this year, 7 different electors decided to vote for different people. So,
and that, you know, that amazed me because in my mind, when you started hearing this talk about them trying to get electors to change, and a lot of these electors said they were getting like 3,000 emails a day and 500 hand-delivered letters a day, people trying to get them to change who they were going to vote for. And a lot of them received death threats, people saying they were going to harm their families and everything else if they didn't change their votes. Now, that's not right. And a lot of these people are going to rethink being designated as electors in the future because nobody wants to put up with that. They thought it was just one of those things. You just go in and say, you know, yay or nay.
Yeah, rubber stamp it.
Yeah, and that they had to put up with all this kind of stuff. There's going to be a lot of people that don't want to get involved with it next time. I don't blame them.
They just thought that basically they'd go in there and they heard there was going to be an all-you-can-eat Chick-fil-A nugget buffet bar. And they thought, hey, I'll just eat all these nuggets.
Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, I thought that all the push was about trying to get people that would have been, instead of casting their votes for Trump, who won the Electoral College, to cast them for Hillary because she won the popular vote. That was never any discussions in any of the articles I read.
No, that was not what was going to, people were wanting to have happen.
No, I mean, there were people that were talking about, instead of voting for Trump, voting for a different Republican. And there were people that were talking about ones, instead of voting for Hillary, voting for different people altogether. And it was like there was more votes, I think, from the Electoral College that didn't go to Hillary that were supposed to than didn't go to Trump that were supposed to.
Yeah, that's right. So there were 306 electors who were pledged to vote for Trump, and only 304 voted for him. And then there were...
The two dissenting were from Texas?
Yep, Texas. And Texas voted for Ron Paul and John Kasich. And then for Hillary Clinton, she had 232 electors pledged for her, and only 227 voted for her. But here's the really weird thing. Of the 227, or the 232 that were pledged for, the 220, or the five that didn't, one from Hawaii voted for Bernie Sanders, who you would think was one of the other, you know, Democratic frontrunners.
Right.
There were three from Washington for Colin Powell, and he's a Republican. So there were three Democratic electors who voted for a Republican for president.
And one who assumingly was not even interested in the job because he didn't run for it.
Are you talking about
Colin Powell?
Colin Powell, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was, I think I read somewhere, that was the first time that has ever happened, that somebody who, an elector from one party voted for a candidate for another party.
Well, didn't one of the electors from Maine, I think it was, vote for Bernie Sanders as well?
Not that I saw. What I saw was just...
Maybe he was talking about it, but didn't do it. There was one that was from, I think it was Maine, that said that he was, instead of casting it for Hillary, he was going to cast it for Bernie, because he said all the young people that got out and turned out for Bernie and everything, he wanted to encourage them. And so he thought that by doing this, he would validate their efforts.
Oh, so there were three Democratic electors, one in Colorado, one in Maine, and one in Minnesota. And they initially had declined to vote for Mrs. Clinton. Two were replaced by an alternate, and then one ended up changing his vote.
Okay.
So I don't know which one was which, but, well, because if you remember when we were going over those laws, in some states it was actually a misdemeanor to not vote the way your party had.
Yeah, you were state bound. And
yeah.
Michael Moore, the director of all the liberal films,
yeah,
he offered to pay the fine for ones, because there was $1,000 fine if you didn't follow it and became a faithless elector.
Yeah.
And he offered to pay their fines.
Yeah, it was really interesting. We got pretty deep into the whole presidential election process.
It's funny, I knew a little bit about it already, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not, that when I was a kid, there was a game called Landslide.
I've heard of
that. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I heard of it. I don't think I ever played it, though.
It was called Landslide, and that's basically what it was, is it was a board game, but it was based on the electoral votes. And so you drew cards or something that had popular votes on it, and then you used your popular votes to win states, and you had to win the electoral votes with that. So it's kind of like a Monopoly type thing, I guess, but it was using the Electoral College. And so you had to make decisions. Would you go ahead and snap up a bunch of the smaller states that didn't take as many popular votes to win, or would you save up your popular votes and try to go after a big one like New York or California? You know, and that was your strategy of trying to win the election. Now, I don't remember the 270 mark, so it may have been based on how many people you had. You had to reach just a majority.
Right.
Probably playing the game. But I don't think they make that game anymore. I have not seen that in years, and that was probably in the, I want to say it was either the late 60s or early 70s that game was out. And it would have been a very educational game to have played this past year for people to have learned what's going on. But like I say, in all my time, I have never heard as much discussion about the Electoral College and what's involved in it as I did this year.
Yeah, me either. I mean, it was crazy.
I mean, and I felt kind of neat being on the front edge of that, having talked about it, so that, you know, us and everybody that listens to this kind of had that in mind going into the election.
Yeah, had a bit of a leg up.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners actually, one of our listeners, Jake Dickerson, actually gave us that idea. I don't want to.
And he gave us beers.
He gave us beers too. So
we're actually drinking some of them.
We are. Yeah. This is my Jake Dickerson Happy Camper IPA. So thanks to Jake for suggesting that. And one of our other listeners, Julie Hay Cundiff, she said she came across a video on Time Magazine website. And they were discussing the electoral process, and she said it sounded like me. Did you listen to it?
I listened to it. Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe over the podcast, that's the way you sound to me. It didn't sound like you.
No, I don't think it sounded like me either.
I didn't. I mean, I didn't think so, but there were several others that did, and I didn't want to argue with them.
That guy sounded like a dork. I don't sound like a dork, do I?
No, Michael. You sound like the best lawyer I've ever heard.
Why, thank you, Tommy.
There was one other thing on the Electoral College that I thought was very interesting. There's a guy named Walter Williams that writes a national op-ed piece. And he wrote one on the Electoral College, and it's called Electoral College Checks Tyranny of Majority. Because there was so much talk about, you know, there's been a lot of talk this year about doing away with the Electoral College, that it's not fair that you should go to a simple majority.
Right.
And this was what his reasoning was. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's fairly long, but according to the 2013 census data, nine states, California, Texas, New York, Florida, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Georgia, and Michigan have populations that total roughly 160 million, slightly more than half the U.S. population. It is conceivable that just nine states could determine the presidency in a popular vote. The Electoral College gives states with small populations a measure of protection against domination by states with large populations. It levels the political playing field. It talks about how California, with 39 million people, Wyoming with 600,000 people, that California's population is 66 times larger than Wyoming's. But with the Electoral College, in terms of that, California only has an 18 times the influence,
right,
because of that. And it talks about that the Founding Fathers held a deep abhorrence for democracy. This isn't a democracy, it's a republic. For democracy and majority rule. In fact, the words democracy appears nowhere in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. In Federalist Number 10, James Madison wrote, "Measures are too often decided not according to the rules of justice and the rights of the minor party, but by the superior force of an interested and overbearing majority." John Adams predicted, "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide." Edmund Randolph said that in tracing these evils to their origin, every man had found it in the turbulence and follies of democracy. Chief Justice John Marshall, who we are very familiar with,
absolutely,
observed, "Between a balanced republic and a democracy, the difference is like that between order and chaos." So, you know, there's lots of checks and balances that are in place. You know, just the same, a president can veto a law passed by 535 members of Congress and, 100 senators. And one man can veto the law. So simple majority doesn't rule on that. If you want to override that veto, it takes 2/3 of both houses to override it.
Yeah.
So a simple majority, you know, nothing in our republic is built around a simple majority. So that was his argument for why the Electoral College works.
Yeah, I'm not super happy with it, but I understand the need for it.
Well, and in this one election, maybe you can say, you know, maybe we don't deal, but do you throw the baby out with the bathwater?
Or do you just kind of tweak it a little bit?
Tweak a little bit, or do you say, maybe in this one case it was it, but 44 other elections, it served its purpose.
Well, hopefully in 4 years' time, we're still sitting here debating that topic, and we're not
We're not saluting Putin.
Yeah, saluting Putin.
Saluting Putin. That should be a t-shirt. We're all saluting Putin.
Saluting Putin.
That sounds like the boot scooting boogie. We should do that to the tune of the saluting Putin to the boot scooting boogie.
Boot scooting boogie. Salute Putin. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the lyrics of boot scooting boogie. I'm drawing a blank.
No, I remember that it was a song, but beyond that, I can't do it.
Out in the country where the city folk roam, honky tonk.
Good enough.
Something.
We have to rewrite that with Putin in there somewhere. All right, what's the next one we want to go to that we want to recap from our year? We're just like Barbara Walters, the year's most interesting people, and we're going over the year's most interesting soup. So, Baba Wawa.
Well, there are some scams that tend to crop up around the holiday time. And there's according to this one list I found, there's top nine holiday scams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so we did a episode, and it was called, what was our scam one called?
Dudes v. Scams.
Dudes v. Scams, which maybe we should have named that one something else, like Nigerian Prince versus something else.
Yeah, that one wasn't one of our most popular ones.
It wasn't, but anyway, I thought that was a cool episode. So the Better Business Bureau says that the number one list on the list is fake Amazon, FedEx, or UPS delivery notices. So these basically show up in your email and say you have a package waiting. You have to click on the link. Then you click on the link, and then you go to some URL where it's not that company, and they're basically stealing your information.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. This one, the number two, they call them porch pirates.
Oh.
You can figure out what these people are. They just come and steal your boxes
off. Steal your boxes.
Yeah. Another was number three was the puppy scam. That's where basically a Craigslist seller tries to sell you puppies that don't exist, and they just need you to send them money so they can ship them to you. Which, Craigslist, you should just be leery of anything on Craigslist.
Exactly.
Especially
serial killers.
Yes, serial killers as well. Sometimes, number four, different people put out fake apps from department stores. So you got to make sure that if you download an app that it's actually from the department store or whoever you think it is from. Secret sister gift exchange on Facebook. So basically, if you buy a gift from someone or send them money, eight people will send you gifts in return. It's kind of like a
pyramid scheme.
Yeah, kind of a play on the pyramid.
I wouldn't get into that. I don't want to give anybody a gift. I don't want any. All I needed was socks and underwear. I don't need anything else.
Yep. This one's the phone mystery shopper jobs. So basically, they send you a check for $3,000 to test the MoneyGram counter that you take to the MoneyGram counter at Walmart or other places. The check bounces and you lose hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but if somebody gives you a check and you don't really know what it's for and they want you to do something kind of dubious, it's not going to be good.
You know right up front there's something wrong with that, so just avoid it.
Yeah. Some phony e-cards. So basically, like if somebody sends you another email and it says, hey, somebody sent you an e-card, click on this link to get it. You know, it's supposed to be an e-card from Blue Mountain or one of those places, but it's not. It's something basically sent to put a virus in your computer or steal your information, fish for information, fishing with a
pH. Leave my information alone.
That's right. Hands off. And then the last one was email letters from Santa. It might look kind of cute, like in an email. But
you open it and it's got a virus.
It's got a virus. Next thing you know, your computer's doing all kinds of weird flashing and blinking and...
Well, you know, I personally have had two problems with scams since we've done that episode.
Really?
Yep. One was concerning my business. I have been getting calls for the last month from businesses all over the country wanting to know why I'm going in and taking out anywhere from $29.99 to $95 out of their account through an ACH transaction. So what has happened... Somebody has gotten all these different businesses' banking information. They're using, for whatever reason, they're using my company's name and address and phone number, and they've set up a phony account, and they're going out and doing all these ACH transactions. They're doing small dollars, hoping people don't notice.
Right.
So they go in and they get $35. The biggest one I heard of was $95, but most of them are like $29.99 to $35, somewhere in that range, and they'll hit it. And if nothing happens in 2 or 3 days, they go and hit it again. And so some of these people, the very first time I got hit a month ago, they were on the phone. Hey, why are you taking my account? It's not me. It's a scam. And then other ones, I'm still getting phone calls from, and they said, yeah, you've done this 3 or 4 times. Well, you just noticed it. I haven't done it at all. So all I can do is tell these people, call your bank. They've got to see where they're sending the money to, but it's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
They got your bank information and my company's name, but we're not involved in it.
Listen here, brother. Sorry about that.
But the thing that's bad is all these people think I'm some kind of thief. Because now some of them take it all right. Some are like, oh, I bet you're tired of hearing about this. I'm sorry. Okay, well, I'll call my bank. Thanks for the information. Other ones are like, what are you doing with the money? Well, where's the money going? Well, how do I know you're not getting my money? Look, I'm not getting the money. We don't do that. You know, that's not what we do. Well, what do you do? It doesn't matter. It's a scam.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. But there's still a lot of people I know that think, don't do business with them. They're scamming me. They're taking my money.
You're probably going to start getting all these like horrible reviews online.
I know. Probably they turned me into the Better Business Bureau or something like that.
Oh, I could do a whole episode on them.
Oh, man. And then right about 30 minutes before you showed up so that we could come down and record this, we get a call on Riley's cell phone. And it's a foreign accent. And the guy says, yes, we need to talk to you about your Microsoft Windows. If you will get your computer and start reading me off the serial number, I think that we can get it fixed for you. And so Riley hands the phone to Mary, and Mary starts talking, said, give it to me. I said, you're a scam, buddy. You're a scam. Don't call me. I don't know why you're saying this. I'm saying it because you're a scam. You don't know anything about what our computer. Do you not have Windows? No, I don't have Windows. Goodbye.
I would have kept him on the line for a while.
Well, we were watching Gilmore Girls, trying to get caught up so we can watch the new Netflix part. So we had to get the old ones done. We're up to season 6 now, so we got to get through 6 so we can see 7 and then watch the 4 new episodes.
I was not scammed, but it was kind of interesting. Made me think of when you said computers. I was I was homesick on Thursday because after we recorded our last episode, I got pretty sick, and there was a knock on the door. I went downstairs and it was 2 police officers, and they said, do you have a MacBook? I said, yeah, I got a MacBook. They're like, well, when did you buy it? I said, I don't know, maybe July, June, sometime around then. He's like, well, are you sure? Because there's a stolen MacBook that popped up. And it's been locked down, but the GPS showed it was here at this address. I'm like, well, no, I bought mine off Amazon. I don't think, and it came new in the box. I don't think it was stolen. It's like, when was this stolen? He said, well, it was stolen about a week or two ago. I'm like, oh, what?
It can't be this one. Unless they're a time traveler.
Yeah, and then I said, well, let me go check it and make sure it's still coming on. It kind of got me a little worried. And I checked it, and it was still it was booting up, and everything was fine. So I guess whoever had it had some sort of app on it and locked it down, but they could figure out where it was. And they said, and I asked them how accurate they said it was, and they said sometimes it's very accurate, sometimes it's not. Somebody could have just been walking by or in a car and whatever. So, yeah, it was kind of weird.
Well, they almost caught you. You're lucky you got away from them.
That's right.
You're still on the lam, eh?
I'm trading my law career for a life of crime selling MacBooks.
I had 2 other brief ones episodes that nothing too in-depth. That's Spouse v. Spouse.
Yeah.
Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. Have you heard about their divorce?
No.
It's evidently turned pretty nasty. Said he hasn't paid his divorce settlement, and she's waiting on the divorce settlement because she wants to donate it to charity.
Oh, that's right, because she made a whole stink about it because she wanted all the money, but she was just giving it away.
Yeah, but I don't know. Johnny Depp is a weird guy. I mean, I like him as an actor. I like all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and all that kind of stuff, but he's a strange dude. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's up with him.
Let me ask you this. Would you want to have a beer with him?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I would not pick him, no.
I don't think he's the kind of dude I'd want to have a beer with.
No, he'd get you in trouble or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd avoid that. Then the other one I thought was kind of a combination. What do you think I'm talking about if I say the Hamilton v. Burr episode plus the Freedom v. Speech episode?
Oh, you're talking about whenever... Mike Pence went to the Hamilton episode, and then the
that's exactly right. There was a lot of conflicting opinions about that.
Yeah. So anybody that didn't know what we're talking about, this is after Lin-Manuel Miranda stopped performing the lead, and I guess I don't know who the other guy was that took over the lead. But anyway, At the end of the show.
Well, he's not the one that did it, though.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was.
No, it was the guy that played Burr.
Oh, it was the guy that played Burr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the original Burr.
Oh, that was the original Burr that did it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the original Burr from Hamilton, Mike Pence was in the audience, and he basically gave a speech to him about
diversity
and there's gay a lot of rights, and that how a lot of people in the theater, you know, were gay, and that,
well, I don't know that he even went into all that. He just basically left that up to his interpretation. There's a diverse crowd, and we have fought for a long time for our rights, and there's a lot of us that are afraid of where you are going. I don't think he specified whether it was gay rights or minority rights or anything like that. Because, you mean, you can say the same thing, not just gay, but then there's also a lot of minorities involved in Hamilton.
Yeah. I just kind of assumed that's what it was.
But, I mean, the way he said it's like all of us up here have some reason to think we're under attack from your administration.
Yeah. And then, I guess, then Mike Pence kind of snuck out the back door. And then Donald Trump tweeted about it, how it was despicable and whatever.
And then he changed his tweet like 8 hours later to something about, isn't it great how we have freedom of speech or something? Yeah. But Pence said, hey, it was fine. You know, it's in the theater. I took no offense to it. But he's a little more diplomatic than Trump. But
that's not hard.
I kind of thought both of them, you know, it crossed, you know, some of it, you know, I could see that both sides. I understand these people had a message and they took advantage of where they were to deliver that message. At the same time, you know, what if it was somebody else that was unpopular for some reason that came in there to the theater and you call him out in front of everybody else? Is public humiliation okay?
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
just because it was it's kind of a popular opinion in that forum.
Right.
You know, was it okay to make it okay?
Exactly.
So
I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that one way or another. I know I love the show. I mean, I've never seen it. Lynn, if you're listening, I could still use tickets and backstage passes.
Make that two.
I said passes.
Oh, yeah. Plural.
Tickets and passes.
Well, one's for me.
Yeah. But I haven't seen it, but I would love to see it. But I'm just saying that, I don't know. If it were, you know, if you were the person that they singled out, that would be pretty humiliating.
Oh, I think so too, yeah.
So I don't know where to go with that.
One of the other episodes was on cannibalism, Human v. Cannibal. That was another episode we did. And not really an update on that, but kind of interesting. Recently, there was a ex-German cop who was convicted of killing, dismembering a man he met on a cannibal website.
They have cannibal websites.
So evidently, there's cannibal websites.
You can find anything on the internet. They have Santa porn on the internet.
I don't doubt it. The internet's a deep, dark, scary place.
It's not even on the dark net. It's on the light net.
You ask me, Santa porn's dark. It's very dark. But a court in Dresden, Germany, found this ex-cop guilty of murder and disturbing the peace of the dead. So basically, he killed the man.
Eating him is disturbing his peace?
Yeah, evidently so. So, interesting enough, it wasn't cannibalism, like we had said. You know, there's not a lot of laws against cannibalism, although I guess
there except for, what was it, Iowa or Utah. Idaho?
Utah, wasn't it?
I don't think it was Utah. I think it was Iowa or Idaho.
Oh, maybe it was Idaho. I think it was Idaho.
And they actually have a law against cannibalism,
yeah.
Unless you need it to survive.
Right. And that was one of the newer laws, I think, too.
Yeah. It was like 2010 or something like that.
Yeah. When did we talk? We talked about that in episode two. We talked about that in the...
that was in the crazy laws.
Yeah, the crazy episode. Laws.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but the guy in Germany, not convicted of cannibalism, just disturbing the peace of the dead.
Disturbing the peace of
the dead. Disturbing the peace of the dead by eating a piece of the dead, if you will.
Now, one thing that we got into that I guess I feel a little bit bad about, and I've got to watch myself in the future. Apparently, I have some kind of psychic powers. I predicted the death of a poor 108-year-old woman. So I said, she was the Cubs fan that had hung around for the 108 years since they'd won their last World Series. And I said, after they won, she's not going to last another month. Hell, she died at the end of the week. She didn't last but like 3 days or something, and she died. And I felt terrible that I predicted that. It was poor Mabel Ball. And she dropped dead on Friday. And I think the World Series ended on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, just long enough to...
That was the only thing keeping her alive. So either my prediction or the Cubs are responsible for killing her. I'm not sure which.
She got to see the Cubs win the World Series, and then she urinated outside the stadium in Wrigleyville, probably after leaving the bar when she was drunk, and then died soon thereafter.
I don't think so. They said the only game she had ever been to was when she was 90. Some of her family took her to a game so that she could say that she'd been to one. She was a fan, but she listened on the radio or watched them on TV. But she only went to one game when she was still a young, spry 90.
Yeah. Probably chugging beers in the bleacher seats.
Yeah. Throwing things at the players. Ah, you bum, get out of here.
Well, yeah, you just need to keep your psychotic powers away from me. Well, we also, we did our death penalty episode on capital punishment.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot on that one.
There has. I actually posted this article on our Facebook, Court Appointed Facebook page, which if you're not a member of that, you should. There's a lot of interesting discussion that goes on after episodes.
Yeah, get signed up, damn it.
Yeah.
Where you been?
But a lot of people like
join the discussion.
Talk about the episode after it happens and kind of go in a bit more detail, maybe about some of the things we...
Correct my half-truths.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm usually half right, but they finish it.
They're usually three-quarter truths in your defense.
Well, I mean, I think they're right. It's just somebody else knows the right thing. I just don't know the right thing.
There was a Ohio prisoner, and I guess they tried to execute him, but they botched the first attempt and had to cancel it. And so the basis of the whole argument that it was cruel and unusual punishment to force a man to prepare for his death not once, but twice. And the second time, having full knowledge of the error the first time. So basically it elevated the punishment, made it a little bit more tough. So,
well, and he also called it double jeopardy.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
he referred to it that way. I'm not saying legally it was that, because double jeopardy refers to something completely different.
Yeah.
But he said in a way he was suffering double jeopardy because they had tried to kill him. They were unsuccessful in killing him. And so now he was back up for another swing. That was back in 2009.
Yeah. Well, I think calling it double jeopardy is more of like a comparison type thing, because it's right. You know, not truly double jeopardy.
Yeah. And they said there was only one other time when it failed to execution failed to take place. Did you see that part?
No, I didn't.
In 1947 in Louisiana, they tried to electrocute an 18-year-old guy named Willie Francis by electric chair, and apparently it just made his hair stand up, and he smoked some, but then when they finished, they unhooked him, and he stood up and walked away. So he wasn't done yet.
I think I saw that in a Tom and Jerry cartoon, too.
Well, I know it's not funny, but they tried to electrocute him, and he walked away from it. So later they fixed the electric chair and took him back, and then they finished the job. In the meantime, he could probably shoot like laser bolts across the room and turn on lights or something. I don't know.
That's crazy.
But there's been several things in the news about the death penalty since then. Execution costs spike in Virginia. State pays a pharmacy $66,000 for enough of this type of drug to kill two people that were on death row. $66,000 for enough of this drug to kill two people. We talked about how it's more expensive to kill them than to do it.
That's just insane.
Critics in Alabama, execution helps case against sedative. Well, they're saying that because there was the case in Ohio where the guy breathed a couple times and his arm twitched a little bit before they gave him the fatal injection, that makes it cruel and unusual. So they were trying in Alabama, this guy was trying down there to say, oh, they're using the same drugs on me and they're ineffective. So it doesn't work. If you're unconscious, that doesn't mean you can't move. I mean, you might react to stimuli or something like that, even unconscious. I mean, people in comas sometimes have involuntary reflexes, well, stuff like that.
So do dead animals too.
Yeah. So, I mean, just because this guy moved or he snorted some, it wasn't smooth breathing. So we're going to say it's cruel and unusual if that happens before we give them the drugs. You know, and we're talking about people that took 14-year-old girls and raped them and murdered them, and we're worried about the guy might be suffering a little bit uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried about his comfortableness, you know?
Well, I mean, in all fairness, he should not be that comfortable. But at the same time, as a civilized society, I think that's what we need to strive for. So well, it's a balancing act.
And that's what it comes down to, is we're going to have to make a decision. If we're going to do it, you can't do it and do it humanely. There's no way to kill people humanely. It's a nasty job. It's a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it. If you're going to do it right. And that's where I really think all the prisoners on death row should be sent to one facility. There should be a federal facility. Once you've been determined that you're going to die, your sentence is death, I think they should hold them all in one facility. All the people there should be professionals in the appeals process and studying it and seeing if the sentence needs to be commuted to life. If it doesn't, execute them right there. And I think the most effective way would be the guillotine. Heck with all these drugs and everything else. They'll never know what hit them. You can just give them a shot, put them out, lean them over the guillotine. Whoop, you're done.
Off with their head.
That's right. There's one that really intrigued me, though. This is Ohio's youngest death row inmate, and he never touched the murder weapon. Says that he was 19 and his accomplice was 19. They both decided they were going to rob this other kid that he knew from middle school. Now, he was going to distract him while the other guy took a, what do you call it, a garrote or a garrote? A wire with a handle on each end?
Yeah, garrote.
All right, and so the guy that was going to do it didn't know this kid they were killing. The other guy knew him, knew that he had money because he'd been selling drugs or something like that. So he was going to distract him while the other guy came up behind him with the garrote and strangled him with it. So he went in to do that, and the guy came with the garrote. Well, he hooked it around his chin instead of his neck. So, of course, he wasn't strangling him because it was around his chin. So the guy was fighting with him then to try to get loose, and all three of them started fighting. So the guy that with the garrote pulled out a knife and started stabbed him 21 times, and then they let him lay there on the floor, and he basically bled out. So then they took the body, wrapped it up in a blanket, and then the guy who knew the kid, not the one that stabbed him, but the other guy, he shot him twice. Now, I don't know why he shot him, but he shot him after he was already dead, and they were dropping him in a hole somewhere, and they threw in these enzymes that decompose a body on top of him and everything. Well, eventually they got caught. They confessed to it, what happened. But the first guy, the guy that stabbed him, the guy that originally was going to choke him and everything and then end up stabbing him and killed him, he entered a plea deal. And the plea deal spared him the death sentence, gave him life without mercy, and he had to testify, though, in the other guy's trial. And he testified. It was the other guy's plan. The other guy knew him. He did do it, but he did it at the other guy's bidding, and how it all went down. Well, the other guy, he didn't take a plea deal. He figured, look, I don't have to worry about that. I didn't do anything. I was there, yeah, but I didn't kill him. So he didn't take a plea deal. He went to a jury trial. He got sentenced to death. So now here he is sitting on death row, and they're saying he'll be the youngest guy ever to die, and he never even handled the murder weapon.
I tell criminal clients all the time about jury trials. There's no way of telling what a jury's going to do. I mean, when you have a jury, you basically have people who were not able to get off jury duty. That's the joke.
They said that, you know, that this case presents a problematic scenario in which the punishment is based not on the level of culpability, it's hard to say that word, but on who decides to cooperate. And
it's like rats off a sinking ship.
Yeah. The thing that makes that forcefully problematic is that the only difference between life and death is the procedural decision that the defendant made.
Well, it's all part of it, though.
Yeah. But, so
I mean, there's when you have clients, criminal clients especially, there's lots of things that go into it, not just the facts of the case. I mean, you have to look at those kind of things and take them into a whole ballpark type situation about how to best represent your client if there are circumstances like that where they might be able to, they have something that they could possibly offer to the police or to the state.
Well, and the family was very satisfied with that because they said basically this other kid knew their son. He was the one that planned it. And he was what done. If it hadn't been for him, their son wouldn't be dead.
Right.
That the other guy, they basically said the other guy was his weapon of getting the job done.
Yeah, he never had his hands on the weapon, but he used a human weapon to do it.
And he said this was one of only 10 cases since early 1900s or something like that where someone has been convicted where it wasn't like a contract killing that never touched the murder weapon or had anything to do with it. And they said he's the youngest guy on death row, but you know, we've talked about it takes 30 and 40 years sometimes. So I doubt that he'll be the youngest one by the time they finally complete it, if it ever gets to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think back in the 50s and 60s, some of these dudes were fast-tracked there.
Yeah. They didn't have the pleas and everything that they did then.
No.
It's a lot different society now.
Yeah.
But
thankfully.
They still got to make a decision what they're going to do because the current status is not acceptable.
That's right. All right. Well,
what else do you have?
I don't have anything else to update about.
Oh, I've got two more.
I do know that there's a new app out there that's kind of eclipsed Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Super Mario Run.
But it's gotten bad reviews too.
Super Mario Run?
Yeah.
I like it.
I've read that. That's exactly where I was going.
Were you really?
Pokemon Go.
Oh, Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Now, I don't say that it's because of us, but right after, a week after our first episode, Pokemon Go added warnings. And some of that was posted on our Facebook site.
Yeah, that's right.
About trespassing and other dangerous things that go on.
I was an avid Pokemon Go player back then. And I remember it popped up. And yeah. I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, they have trespass warnings on here now.
Yeah. And then in August, it had spread to where they were doing Pokemon Go over in the UK. And here was a case where two young children were lured into a house using the Pokemon Go app that this couple that they... later arrested, were luring the people in over there. That was exactly what we warned about, that those type things would be going on.
Oh, here, go catch this Pokemon. It's here in this big black cauldron.
Yeah, just go on in there.
Jump on in. The water's fine.
And it says that Pokemon Go has gone.
Pokemon Go has gone?
It reached its peak in July, and it's been dropping ever since.
Don't tell Gibby that.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's just looking for something to get out of work. It said Pokemon Go's U.S. downloads fell from over 80 million in July of 2016 to 1.5 million in November. It says the figures indicate the app is nearing market saturation and accounted for only 5% of all U.S. downloads. But despite the drop, it's still ranked number 16 in the U.S. for downloads. It says, though it is still a sizable audience with 23 million mobile active users, that's down by a little less than a third from July, where the game saw 66 million monthly active playing.
Yeah, I actually got a new phone since then. I didn't even bother to install it on my new phone.
Well, it faded fast.
It eats your battery, too. Oh,
well, I didn't know about that. I never did Pokemans. I don't care about those Pokemans. I never caught a Pokemon. I never saw a Pokemon. I don't care about the Pokemans.
I mean, it sucked your battery down like a milkshake at a... Somewhere.
Milkshake it somewhere?
Yeah, with a big straw. I drink your milkshake.
We'll have to come up with whoever's a good milkshake drinker to finish that analogy there. I don't know.
Freddie Jackson?
Charlie likes milkshakes.
Cooler than Freddie Jackson sipping on a milkshake?
And then the other one that we had several updates on was the Creepy Clowns episode.
Creepy Clowns.
Yeah. And I thought it was very interesting. After, you know, it popped up in America, the next place it spread to, or at least started having problems with it, was in Germany. And here was a father who got stabbed by, and this was I thought was kind of cool. They don't call them creepy clowns over there. They call them horror clowns.
I like that.
Horror clowns. And so this guy, he sees one, and the guy had a knife. Well, evidently, he was menacing him with the knife, and the guy reached out and grabbed the blade, and the creepy clown pulled the blade back. Well, it didn't cut his fingers off, but it did a lot of damage to it and everything.
You can cut your tendons really bad.
That's what he lost, 4 tendons. They said they're going to take tendons out of his legs to try to reconstruct his fingers. But he was talking about that. He says he's lost his job and everything because of it.
And this is the guy who dressed as a clown?
No, this was the dad that saw the creepy clown. And he got hurt. The clown had a knife. But here's what I think. I think it was some guy just, I don't think he was attacking him. I think he was just out trying to scare people. And this guy's reaction was to reach out and grab the knife. And that was the wrong reaction. But I thought it was kind of funny. He says, at the end of that article, he says, I'm a former kickboxer. So it wasn't as if I'm scared of clowns. I think it was just seeing the knife, which was the shocking thing. People behaving like this really need to stop. I have been having nightmares, and the pain is unreal. The clown craze is getting out of control. So he's not scared of clowns, but he's having nightmares?
Well, if he's a kickboxer, why didn't he just kick him in the head?
I know. Why did he grab him? Why did he grab the knife?
Kick him on that big red nose.
Yeah, there's some of that doesn't add up.
A little strange.
And then here's creepy clown attacks teenagers in Rostock, northern Germany. They had several horror clown incidents there. But the one that I thought was most interesting was this 16-year-old kid dressed up as a creepy clown and went to go scare this other pack of kids that were a little bit younger. Well, this 14-year-old kid happened to be carrying a knife. So when this kid jumped out to scare him, the 14-year-old turned around and stuck a knife in his chest. So the kid didn't die.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, he didn't die. But, I mean, he had to go to the hospital. He was in pretty bad shape. But they talked to the kid and deciding whether to press charge and decided not to. That, you know, he didn't know who it was. The other guy jumped up. I think he had a bat or something like that. So, you know, he brought a bat to a knife fight. But here, this is the one that takes them all.
All right, lay it on me.
U.S. student dead in Cambodia after evil clown prank goes wrong. Creepy clown scaring villagers in Cambodia blown up by landmine.
What?
You can't make this up. I just got to read this because I can't even paraphrase it. In what is probably one of the worst ways to go, an unidentified 25-year-old was chased into an active minefield. They have active minefields in Cambodia? Active minefield by residents of Semarang, Cambodia, after running around the village in a creepy clown mask. According to Times of Cambodia, the man has yet to be identified, but is believed to be a local who spent several years studying abroad in the U.S. and recently returned home for a family visit. The local police captain told the news outlet that a group of witnesses arrived at the police station and reported an evil spirit that was roaming the streets, wielding a machete and peering into homes of several residents. Most of the locals hid from the specter, but some of them charged at the man when they realized that he wasn't a ghost and was just a dude in a mask. I didn't make that up. That's what it says. He was just a dude in a mask. They didn't want to hurt him, said the police captain, but they wanted to find out who it was and make him apologize to people he'd scared. Of course, he never got the chance to apologize because they unwittingly chased him straight into a minefield. The villagers tried to warn the man to avoid the active explosives and come back, but he kept running. Their collective horror was realized a few minutes later when they heard a loud boom. A doctor was dispatched to the scene, but that turned out to be pointless, as the body was, and I quote, torn apart, as the man, quote, didn't stand a chance. Unfortunately, this man will now forever be known as a cautionary tale as to why you don't terrorize your neighbors while dressed up as a creepy clown.
All right. I'm just going to go ahead and say, # that didn't happen.
What? You think that's not real news?
No, that's not real news. There's no way that happened.
I found it on the internet. It has to be real.
Why was
there an active minefield? And how did they tell, they yell at him, watch out for the mines? What are they, marked with an X?
Yeah, this story does not add up. I mean, as much as I love the idea, or just whatever, the idea of a clown, someone dressed as a horror clown or a creepy clown trying to terrorize some Cambodian villagers and then being chased into an active minefield, I just don't think this happened.
But I found it on the internet. Are you telling me that everything I see read on the internet, is it true?
I don't know. Have you ever been on holiday in Cambodia?
No, I can't say that as I have, but I'm going to watch out for minefields if I ever go there.
Have you ever listened to the Dead Kennedys?
I've heard of the Dead Kennedys.
They sing a song called Holiday in Cambodia.
Hmm.
Made me think of that right away.
Is there a minefield there in the song?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, then this must be real.
It's probably real. You're right. I'm just going to file it under one of those things that I don't think happened. So.
Well, all right, if you say so.
It seems a little strange.
I like the story, so I'm going to repeat it as if it's real.
Yeah, just add to the myth.
I mean, why not? They chased him into a minefield, and he blew up. They called the doctor, but
he was torn to shreds.
Pointless.
They called the doctor.
That's why they can't identify him. The parts aren't big enough. They can't even identify him. Yeah. So they don't even know who it was.
Somewhere there's some family missing their son or daughter.
Yeah.
Little do they know, they were dressed as a clown, torn apart in a minefield in Cambodia. Wondering where they are. No, that didn't happen.
Well, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. So I'm going to assume it's true. You can assume it's false.
Okay.
And we'll just have to live with it.
Well, I think it's time for demographics.
I was wondering where you were going with that. I was trying to follow your lead, like the what's her name that used to be on Saturday Night Live that left recently, the funny lady.
Oh, that one funny lady.
Yeah, that one funny lady that left, and her and the other funny guy that's not on there anymore either. They used to do the singing, and one would do the song, make up words, and the other one would follow along with them, right with it. You know who I'm talking about?
I'm drawing a blank.
The guy's on Portlandia. He used to be on SNL, and he plays in the band sometimes for Seth Meyers on his late night show.
It's the guy with his glasses?
Armand or something. Oh, heck. We'll think of it later.
All right.
You know who I mean. And what's a girl's name? Kristen something? No. What's her name?
I got nothing for you.
You know who I mean. She was on there forever. She was really funny. Did the Target lady.
The blonde chick?
Yeah.
Kristen?
Something. You're making that up. All right. Never mind. Moving on. We'll go to demographics.
So this is the part of the show where we're going to tell you about demographics for our past year.
We just thought it would be interesting to break it down somewhat. And so here's a few of the numbers and stats that define us, I guess you could say. All right. Our best month to date was October. We had more downloads in October than any other month. Our biggest single day, September 20th. We had that was the release date of our Hamilton Burr episode.
That was our biggest day?
Yeah, biggest single day. We had more downloads in that one day than any other single day.
Everybody must want to hear what Rilo had to say.
I think so. Now then, as far as our biggest episode, I have the top five. Or do you? I have to do the drum roll. You don't know how to do a drum roll.
I can't do a drum roll.
Number 5555 golden rings. Number 5 was Yeezy V Swift. Number 4, Spouse V Spouse. Number 3, Pokemon Go V Trespass, which was our largest for a long time.
Yeah, that was our first episode.
It led the way.
Yeah.
Very first episode, it led the way. Yeezy V Swift was number 2.
Pokemon Go will always hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All them Pokemans.
Yeah, me too.
I never did get that. Number 2, Debtor V Creditor.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't sound exciting on the surface, but it was our number 2 downloaded episode.
Well, that's a really hands-on episode.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you want to take away, you know, and I think that there's a lot of stuff in there that was very good information to take away from that one.
Absolutely.
Number 1.
1111.
You got any guesses? Or did you cheat and look at my sheet?
I didn't cheat and look at your sheet, but I know what it is.
Creepy Clowns.
The Creepy Clowns episode, our number 1 episode.
That's our number 1 episode. I won't say it's far and away the biggest one, but it's significantly bigger.
Yeah, that episode, that took off.
Now, as we look at these, because we try to look at them and try to determine what do people like, you know, what sells, what doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. And there's definite, you know, difference because some of them have twice as many downloads as some of the other ones.
Yeah.
So obviously some of the good better. So you look at, are they topical? Are they the topical ones? Are they the more informative ones? You know, so 3 of those, I would say, are topical. The Yeezy Swift, the Pokemon Go, and the Creepy Clowns.
Yeah.
Those were more or less topical ones. The other 2, Spouse v. Spouse and Debtor v. Creditor, I'd say were more informational ones.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to decide. I'd like to tie most of what we do to something currently going on.
I do, too. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, and it's a lot better to get some input from the news and stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks like that there's some that just strictly the information that goes along with it. There's people wanting this information.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to keep coming up with the right topics to keep people interested and keep you listening.
Yep. Mixed bag.
Just mixed bag.
Kind of like mixed nuts. Sometimes you get a cashew. Sometimes it's an almond. Who knows? There might be a walnut in there. You don't even know.
Just don't know. Now, as far as our downloads, 80% of them are in the United States. So out of those 80%, I have a list of our top five states.
Top five states in the United States for our downloads. Okay.
For our downloads. Number five is Ohio.
Ohio.
Right next door, our neighbor Ohio.
Our neighbor.
It's our fifth largest downloader. Number four, Illinois, which really surprised me. I don't know. It just seems like an odd place. It would be the fourth most downloads that we get.
Well, I did used to live in Illinois.
Wait, did you know thousands of people?
I had friends. I know people.
You were only there less than a year.
Less than a year.
You couldn't have met that many people. Did you go to the Cubs games or something? Them winning the World Series, that must have caught on. That might have had something to do with it.
Maybe it did.
All right. Well, Illinois.
I did make some good friends there. There are some good people in Illinois.
Jake's in Illinois, right?
No, Jake is in Memphis. But
But he's a Cubs fan.
Cubs fan.
Oh, well, maybe he's drubbed up support up there. So
yeah. Probably.
Number three. Now, this one was a real surprise to me. This is out of left field. Washington State. Not D.C., but the state of Washington.
Yeah.
Number three.
Well, I mean, my best friend, Rich Greenwell, lives in Washington State.
So. Well, he must be doing us a good job out there spreading the word then. Yeah, he's got thousands of friends.
I'm sure he does. He's a cool dude.
Number two, it's the home of Abby Whitmire.
God bless Texas.
Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Even our viewership.
Except for one other state.
Nice.
There's one state that has our biggest listenership, and it was, it's one of the top two in electoral votes.
California.
Correct.
Yeah.
California is most downloads of our episodes. California.
Well, I mean, I figure because California is just so big. There's got to be,
I know like two people out there.
Do you?
Yeah.
I know a handful.
I don't know a handful. Two in the handful.
I've traveled to California. I've surfed a little bit in California.
I've never been there.
It's a good state. I like California.
Now, outside of the U.S.
Oh.
The five top countries where our episodes have been downloaded. This blows me away. I mean, once we got the ability to see these demographics, I'm thinking, Mike and I, we're humble guys. And we sit here in my daughter's and my son-in-law's basement talking to each other. And the thought that anyone wants to listen to this crap, I don't know.
Crap!
I mean, when we started it, I thought, who the hell's going to listen to this?
Who's going to listen to this drivel?
Who cares what we say? And so to think, it's big enough. People in California are listening to us, Mike. But then to look and say, people in other countries are listening. I don't know. It's wild. Number five, Germany. There's Germans listening to us.
There are. There was actually one person that posted the video.
While they were in Germany with the fireworks going off, and they were listening to our episode.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was like we were like a 4th of July special or something. I don't think they celebrate the 4th of July in Germany.
Probably not.
Number four, Sweden, the home of neutrality.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. We argue both sides, so we're pretty neutral.
Hello, Sweden.
Hello, Sweden. I like your chalets. Maybe I could go skiing there sometime. Nah, with my knees, I couldn't ski. But it would be nice to visit.
I would love to go to Sweden.
Now, number three, and I know why we've got these viewers there, viewers, listeners. Leon Keith helped us out. It's Australia.
Oh. Right.
I think he spread the word for us.
The Australian connection?
Helped us pick him up, yeah.
Good day, mate.
We had a new Australian join us on our Facebook page today.
Did we?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I believe his name was Jason.
Jason from Australia joined our Facebook page today?
Yeah. Good day, mate.
Good day, mate. Hello, Jason.
Number two, the UK.
Ah, love the UK.
And that's not the University of Kentucky.
I know that because I do not like them.
I just wanted to make sure you knew.
Yeah.
UK is number two. And our number one country that loves us. If we ever get banished from here, if Trump kicks us out, where we'll have to go.
What are you talking about?
Canada.
Oh, Canada.
I go up there and be like the, what are those brothers that sing about beer?
Oh, the McKenzie brothers.
Yeah, it would be like the McKenzie brothers. 12 beers of Christmas or whatever.
Take off, you hoser.
And a beer.
And a beer. That's like that movie, Strange Brew. I love that movie, Strange Brew.
Yeah.
As a kid, that was like so funny to me.
So those were our top episodes. Those are our top states and our top countries that we're listened to in. Now, there's three more places that I want to list that came up in our demographics that to me are just extremely interesting.
Where's that?
That I can't even believe. I mean, it's not a big number. It's not a big number or anything, but it's just amazing to me. Now, here's three demographics that just absolutely blow me away.
Blow you away?
They blow me away. I can't even imagine who would listen to us from here. The first one, it's not a big number, but it's still there, is China. There's people in China listening to us.
We made it past the Great Wall.
Yeah, we made it right over the wall. We wouldn't go under it. We'd go over it. We'd leap right over that wall. And we've got people that listen to us in China. That's I can't awesome. Believe that. That's I don't so know cool. anybody in China. I've never been to China. I don't even get emails from China.
I don't either.
But they listen to us. I'm impressed. That's really cool. Now, here's one that's to me is even more amazing than China. It's the Czech Republic. That's not quite as many as China, but it's still the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
That they're listening to us there. Maybe they're listening to us for the seeds of democracy or something like that, or a republic.
Maybe they're the ones that do the fact check republics.
That could be.
They're doing the fact check on us.
It might be. But it's still the Czech Republic. Oh, you're getting going with the Czech thing.
Fact check.
Fact check.
Republic.
Is that what they are? They're the fact checker?
Yeah.
And the other guy, you have this great big old guy standing in the corner and said, who are you? He said, I'm the fat check. He's not a fat chick. He's a fat check. All right. And then the last one that really blows me away is the Russian Federation. Now, it's not a large number, but here's what's really interesting. It works out to about one for each episode. I think it's Putin himself.
You think so?
I think it's Putin. He's listening to us for what he can learn about America and American law so he can influence Trump and influence our elections. He listened to the Electoral College one, I'm telling you, so that he could disseminate information to help Trump win.
You might be onto something there.
I think that's what it was. We got one listener in the Russian Federation. I think it's Putin. He's listening to all our episodes. I bet he really enjoyed the one with Yeezy.
He could have.
Yeezy and Swift, he's got to be a fan of Yeezy. Yeezy would probably go to him. If Trump doesn't give him the $120 million, he'll probably go to Putin next.
Well, I talked about playing, doing judo with Putin because he's a black belt in judo.
He probably likes you.
Yeah.
He might invite you over.
I'd love to do some randori with him.
Randori?
Yeah. I
think I'll do some Gandalfy with him.
Gandalfy? Well, those are some cool demographics. I think it's kind of fitting at the end of the year to talk about that, too, because it kind of... You know, let's our listener base know like where we've been, where we're going.
Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
That's true.
So we had a good start though, Michael. I'm very pleased with where we're at.
Me too. Well, what do you think? What do you see for us in 2017? Where do you want this podcast to go?
Well, I think that I would like to continue to be informational. I think people want to get information out of it. I mean, it's nice to be funny and entertaining. And I think people want that too, but we've got to have a good message. We've got to keep delivering the intelligent part. So that's where you come in. So you're going to have to up your game.
I got to keep this brain working.
That's right. I'm just here for window dressing.
Well, I'll tell you one episode that I'm really looking forward to. Sydney and I were talking about doing kind of a mashup with Sawbones and Court Appointed. And she's going to come and guest with us. And we're going to talk about some medical issues.
Well, and you know, we always try to be funny in it, but there are issues out there that maybe aren't necessarily funny.
Yeah, this episode probably won't be funny, I don't think.
And we haven't ventured into that because that's not really our style. So, you know, I'm not sure whether to be able to, if I can play it straight for an hour or not, but you know, there are some very serious topics out there.
For sure.
That we need to address. And I think that we need to get into some of those things.
Yeah.
And I'd like to do that as we go forward. And you know, well, I won't get into what it's about, but we have particular problems in our areas, and it would be nice to be able to do something meaningful to address those issues. So
yeah, that's right, and it kind of crosses between Sydney's profession and my profession, because it's kind of a medical and a legal type issue that's coming up.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So for our new year, we'll probably get into something like that. So the next time we come to you, it will be next year.
It will be next year, and I'll be older.
You'll be older?
Well, actually, everyone's going to be older.
Yeah. Well, everybody'll be older, just not by a full year like you.
That's right. I'm one more trip around the sun.
Well, little buddy, it's nice to conclude 2016 with you. I'll see you in 2017, and we'll do it again.
Sounds good.
We'll see you then.
See you then. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I...